Say, I'm quick.
I'm quick.
I'm sharp.
I'm extremely intelligent.
I'm rich.
I'm
the devil's worst nightmare.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I can do all things through Christ.
I am led of the Spirit.
Love dictates my life.
I will never step out of love.
In Jesus' name.
That's agape love.
Amen. Now, we talked about that Sunday, but listen, every sin on this earth is because of a step out of love. Every sin that's ever committed on this planet is because somebody stepped out of agape. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go in our Bibles this evening to John 13. No, that ain't right. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Romans 8 and Hebrews chapter 4. And we are talking on the subject of spirit, soul, and body have for some time. Got one tonight and one more next Wednesday night. And then we'll be through with this, these series of lessons on that. You that are in the Bible school, you have a test tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Came prepared, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's just read that verse of Scripture. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if He dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and that same Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God, living in us, will also quicken our mortal bodies. Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice here that the Word, I believe another translation says the Word that God speaks, is living. It is a living, powerful thing. The Living Bible does say, for whatever God speaks to us is full of living power. Amen. And notice here that it penetrates, hallelujah, piercing or penetrating even through dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It will penetrate the soul, penetrate the spirit, divide the two, and penetrate the joints and marrow, talking about the body. So if the Word is living and if the Word is powerful, then that would mean that the Word, the written Word, the Logos of God, and the Rhema, the spoken Word of God, will produce power in the spirit, power in the soul, and power in the body. So it is a source, and people don't look at this because they treat this like any other book, that this book here given to us is given to us as a source of power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A living source of power. Now, it's not going to do you any good sitting inside of it, but when you get it off the pages and get it into your heart, then it becomes a sharp, two-edged sword. Amen. Amplified says it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing. I like that. Actually, I would say, and then people do take issue with this, E.W. Kenyon said this, I think Charles Capp said this, others have said it, but go back, that the most powerful force on this earth had to be the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the only thing that can divide spirit from soul. Amen. So it's alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective, and penetrating the spirit of man, soul of man, and the body of man. Now, we talked about what the Word would do to the spirit of man. It produces a spiritual force or power, and we call that force faith. And then what the Word will do in the soul of man, or the mind, the will, the emotions of man, And it does produce a power, and we call it willpower. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we get the mind of Christ through the Word of God, don't we?
That's right.
But also we looked at and talked about what the Word will do in a physical body, how the Word produces power, physical strength, and to the point sometimes of supernatural human strength. Actually, nothing human about supernatural, is it?
Amen. That's right.
A spiritual power in the physical body of man. Now, we looked at last week some of the Old Testament feats. How you spell it? F-E-A-T-S? Some of the Old Testament feats that were performed by people in the Old Testament that you know just as well as I do, that it was not natural human strength that did those things.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And some of the power. The Bible talks about Samuel. And that the Lord, after he spoke to him, and Eli's not doing his job, a lot of things happen, but the Lord said he didn't let one of his words, not any of his words, fall to the ground. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What he said affected nations. What he said affected whole armies. What just the power of his words that come out of his mouth. And that's Old Testament. Then we read about men like David, you know, just a shepherd boy who killed a lion and slew a giant, didn't he? Then we read about David's mighty men of valor, one guy killing 800 just by himself. We read about Samson. These are not natural human strength that they can do that. Samson, who slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And some people think that Samson, you know, like he's 12 foot tall, weighed 750 pounds, but he wasn't.
Amen.
And it wasn't, Samson calls his hair. It wasn't his hair that did it. Because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily.
Amen.
That was just a Nazarite vow that they had made. But, he was born strong. No, I don't believe that. It was supernatural power, had to be, that came upon him. So it produces power in the spirit, in the soul, but also in the body. Remember, Elijah girded up his loins and outran the chariot. Amen. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at a verse of scripture here, because I think this applies. So we don't get to read the Old Testament and say, wasn't that nice, and look what God did. Well, now I believe God's the same God has always been, the Father. He's now our Father. He was God to them, but our Father, isn't he? And I believe the Holy Ghost is the same Holy Spirit, one that came upon them. And remember, he said that the Word, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Holy Spirit's inside of you to quicken, produce power. If the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, well, now here we are walking around with all of Samson inside of us. And the Spirit and the Word agree, and they are one. Are y'all listening to me? And so we've just, you know, kind of relegated all that stuff that's back there in the Old Testament. That doesn't apply today, but it does. I said it does. If you believe for it, I believe for it. I believe if I need supernatural power, now I don't think it'd come on you to stay all the time. And I don't believe that Samson had that supernatural strength all the time, because it'd come on him as the Spirit would move upon him. Well, the gifts of the Spirit, we do know there are power gifts, three power gifts, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And they're not on anybody all the time. They come upon there as the Spirit wills. So at times we can expect, when we need it, supernatural strength and power to come upon our bodies. Hallelujah. Then let's just look at Jesus. Now go over to the book of Luke chapter 7. And we read a story of Jesus when he was here. Amen. Luke chapter 7, and it talks about him interrupting, I believe it is, a funeral procession and raising from the dead the widow of Nain's son. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And tremendous things happening. We saw how he worked with the madman of Gadara and delivered him. And then Jesus, after had finished what God had told him to do, his time was up, they took him. They beat him all night long, flogged him all night long, took him back before Herod, Pontius Pilate, then they beat him again with a cat of nine tails, jammed a crown of thorns on his head, made him drag a cross, then took and nailed him to that cross. And now I suppose they dug a hole and slammed that cross into that hole. And then somebody pierced his side. And the Bible still says that he cried with a loud voice. I believe the supernatural power is working in him even when he's on the cross. Had to have, the things that he had to go through. Then we talked about over there in Mark 5. Let's go look at this. This is the story of the madman of Gadara. And see something about him. Talking about spiritual power in a physical body. Yes. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he's in the mountain, was in the mountains, and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And Jesus, of course, cast the demons out of that man, and the demons were legion. Look how many there was in him. And so we see here, though, supernatural power operating in the spiritual body. Now, you know this won't physical strength. It was because of the demons that were in him. Now, he had all these many demons. Now, that was spiritual power, wasn't it? Yet it was demonic power, wasn't it? Yet, and we've heard about it. We know we need to act like this don't ever happen. It still happens today. I hear things that people are possessed and the things that they do. I remember reading behind Wigglesworth said when he went into this one house and there was a young girl in there who I'm not sure how many men it was, seven or eight men couldn't hold her down. And Wigglesworth walked in there and when he did, you know, they couldn't hold her down. He just spoke to that spirit and said, come out in Jesus' name. And she broke loose from the guys and attacked him. And he just said, pointed right at and said, I told you to come out. And he walked right out. And I don't know how long it was later, it was a period of time, but just all of a sudden, poof, she's delivered. Jesus had authority over demons. Mark 16 tells us that we have authority over devils and demons. So if you can see it in the natural. Now, did y'all get to Hebrews chapter 8? Did y'all get there yet? Did we read that? Huh? Y'all thought I'd forgot about it, didn't you? Huh? Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 6. See, I hadn't forgot about it. Holy Ghost, don't forget anything. Now, look, Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now, everybody say now.
Now.
Oh, that means when is now? That's right now, isn't it? But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better what? We have a better covenant, which was established upon what? Supernatural power. On and in and operating in human bodies or on mortal bodies. And when you're talking about mortal, you're talking about on this side of the resurrection, right? So when the madman of Gadara had spiritual power, now, is like we said last week, is the devil's power greater than God's power? Doesn't the Bible tell us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? Huh? And how does he live in us? By his spirit, and the same Holy Ghost is in you is the same identical Holy Spirit that came upon Samson. It's the same Holy Ghost that came upon David when he slew the lion and killed Goliath. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's not by might nor by power. It's not by physical strength, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? So the Holy Ghost is a spirit, but is the greater one, is God living in us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, than whatever the devil manifested in physical strength. In physical strength on this earth, then I can believe for it on this earth myself. At times in our life, we get in what is referred, people do get in what is referred to life and death situations. Now, I remember hearing about people that would pray or would come up upon something like a car. I know one in particular. This guy told me he saw it with his own eyes. How an individual came out of a car, rolled over on somebody, and this guy came in and picked the car up and moved it over. Now, that is not physical strength. Because if you exerted yourself, and nothing wrong with you, listen, you exerted yourself so much to pick up a car, you'll bust your guts open. I mean, your body couldn't stand it. It would have to be supernatural strength, wouldn't it? Are y'all out there? Everybody say spiritual power. Supernatural power. Operating in mortal bodies. I'm not talking about immortal bodies. We'll get to that in a moment here. But I'm talking about immortal bodies on this earth. Now, I don't believe. Now, how do you suppose today that the Holy Spirit quickens people? Didn't he say the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal. See, now, the mortal means subject to death body. That's the one that we have right now. Right now, every one of you have a mortal body. Not an eternal body, a mortal body. You have a subject to death body. And all things being equal, one of these days you're going to physically die. Because it is appointed unto man once to die, right? And unless the rapture takes place, you're going to physically die. I'm going to physically die. But my spirit man never dies again. He's alive, right? So the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it would have to be that kind of power that would cause these supernatural things to happen. Amen. Ha. Wow. Now, how does the Holy Spirit quicken us? I believe you go back right to our text, Hebrews 4:12. What did he say? For the Word of God is what? Quick and alive, living, powerful, producing power in the spirit, power in the soul, and power in the body. And in the Holy Spirit quickens. I believe that it is God's design today for us to be quickened, and not only in our spirit, not only in our soul, but in our mind. You ever had that quickening thing from God come on you? And God quickened you to something, or you had scriptures quickened to you? You know what I mean when I say that? Like all of a sudden one day you really saw it. Like I talk about all the time, Matthew 7:11. If ye be an evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him, or good gifts to them that ask him? And then one day I really saw it, that God was my Father. He's not just God, he's our Father. And that he loves to give us good gifts. And I saw it, and because of that quickening of the Word, my faith was released and my home was put back together that day. That day. And then all of that, like I said, in 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, she called me. Now, God can quicken your spirit, God can quicken your soul, but God can quicken your body by his Spirit, and his design today is through the Word of God. A man that is full of the Word of God does not wring his hands in a life and death situation. We don't have to, because the Holy Spirit sent to quicken us. We have the Word that he operates on. See, this is why we feel so sorry for the people out there who don't know the Bible, who don't know what belongs to them. How many people you suppose today in the kingdom of God know nothing about this supernatural quickening power? They look at Samson as some kind of fairy tale. It's just something God did back then. But like he's not the same God, it's not the same Holy Ghost, and we're just in a different realm, and those things just passed away. No, darling, no. Amen. 1,000 times no. It's the same Holy Ghost, but today he doesn't have to come upon us. He's in us. Amen. He's living in us. Amen. There may be a situation in your life. You may come upon a life and death situation. Now, God does not cause life and death situations. But he has promised us that he will quicken his Word in them. Amen. By his Spirit that's inside of every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of supernatural stories like that where somebody did something that's beyond natural strength? Well, you know, Samson was just born that way. Yeah, Samson, you know, he weighed 750 pounds. You know, he's a great big guy and all this stuff. And he just did all that. No, it was the Holy Ghost. And the same Holy Ghost is in us. And he told us in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. Dunamis. Miracle working ability. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and then he quickens us. The Word is alive. The Holy Spirit quickens. It is full of power. He will quicken us by the Word. Many people are filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're not quickened. Look, when that quickening power comes, it'll heal your mortal body. Say amen, somebody. That quickening power comes, it'll deliver you of demonic forces. When that quickening power comes, it'll set you free no matter what it is. It'll heal you, yes, but it will cause super abundant strength and power to come upon you. And this power is available to all of us by operating in the Word of God. Amen. And what it'll do, only when it's needed. Because it's as the Spirit wills. Amen. Now, people are desperate to learn this. Because a lot of folks get in these kind of situations. And the problem, like we said, in the body of Christ is that we've treated the Bible as an ordinary book. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verse 8, I believe it is. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand how long? How long?
Forever.
Forever. Amen. All right, let's look at another one here. Go to Isaiah 55. Verse 11. So shall my what? Be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me what? But it shall accomplish that which I please. Or will not return without producing an effect, will it? All right, let's look at another one. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to what? Or he watches over his word, don't he? And then in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word, the Bible says, is a light to our path. It is a lamp to our feet. The word produces strength. The word will defeat the enemy. The word will not return void. He sent his word to heal them and deliver them. And man lives not by bread alone, but by the word of God. And every word of God that he speaks is alive and powerful, full of life-producing power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the physical body lives off of what we would say physical strength or draws physical strength. It needs food to strengthen it. The spirit of man is fed by the Word of God. Now, Samson had, we would say, his hair. David had his stones. Moses had his rod. But we have the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at our resurrected body. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what?
Word of God.
So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Ephesians 2, 8 says we're saved by grace through faith. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, what kind of body will we have when we have the resurrected body? How many of you understand that the resurrected body is different than the body you have now? Now, your spirit man is recreated. Any man be in Christ, he's a what?
New creature.
That man is recreated or born again. But the physical body is not, the mortal body is not recreated, it is resurrected. Now, there's a difference there. And if we want to know what our resurrected body will be like, then all we got to do is look at Jesus, what he was like after his resurrection. To get a picture, to see. So, now just think, whatever Jesus could do, whatever Jesus did when he was here after he was resurrected. Now, not only through our faith now, he said, the works that we do shall he do also. But he did some things after his resurrection that he didn't do prior to his resurrection. Now, prior to his resurrection, he walked on water. Prior to his resurrection, he spoke to trees, cursed them, and they died and withered away, didn't he? Prior to his resurrection, he turned water into... Prior to his resurrection, he multiplied what? Fishes and loaves, right? But after his resurrection, we see something that we don't see. He's not limited by physical laws. He's operating prior to the resurrection. On this earth, he's operating by spiritual laws, the force of faith, that, and through the Word. That's how he is the Word. But after the resurrection, his body is acting like a spirit. This is good. Are y'all out there? Man, I tell you what, it's going to be awesome. We get that body. Amen. Now, Adam was made on this earth mortal. Eternal. He was not made mortal. He was made eternal. He was never meant to die. But when he sinned, spiritual death came in and it caused him to die and his body became mortal, didn't it? Now let's go over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Let's read some scriptures, chapter 15. And see what we're talking about here. Are you there yet? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? You ever wonder about this? You never wonder about this? You never think about what it's going to be like? How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. I wonder why he called us a fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. In other words, it's not going to come out like it was. But it's still going to be a body. The resurrected body will still be a body. It's just a resurrected body or a glorified body. Hallelujah. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. And whatever you sow is not going to come out, like in other words, you're not going to come back a lizard. Your resurrected body's not going to be a lizard. It's not going to be a monkey. It's not going to be a cat or a dog. It's going to be a body. It's going to look like this body. It's going to be able to be touched and handled. But yet, it's going to operate totally on spiritual laws. And nothing natural has any effect on it. It cannot be killed. It cannot cease to exist, just like the spirit of man. Are you out there? Amen. Hallelujah. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. To every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Celestial means heavenly, terrestrial means earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That's the terrestrial. Are you listening to me? It is raised in corruption. That's the glorified body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Whew, that's cool, isn't it? There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, Jesus has a spiritual body. We have a natural body. Our natural body is limited. That's the reason, you know, we're going out. We're going to Montana in a couple weeks. And vacation. This is the reason I have got to get on an airplane. Because right now I don't have the glorified body. Once I have the glorified body, I'll have the it'll be a spiritual body, and I'll have the ability to change the molecular structure, and I will travel at the speed of thought. You know, the Bible says the door is being closed and Jesus appeared in the midst. Now, it doesn't say that he walked through the door. He could have. But when we've seen times, just at times now, see, what we're talking about here is we have the Spirit of God, and these things happen to us as the Spirit wills. Amen. Once you have that glorified body, it's as you will. Amen. Because you have a spiritual body, which is not limited by any physical laws. There's no way the devil, any demon, any devil, anywhere could touch, harm, make sick, hinder that body. Now, you remember before Satan, Lucifer, tried to take the throne, he was kicked out. Now, he was not greater than, he was just a spirit. But here we have, oh man, God's going to turn this world back over and put it back in the hands of a spirit, of a soul, and of a body that is sanctified holy. And this body is going to be, this body, look, feel your body. That body you have is going to become a spiritual body. Amen. Now somebody said, well now, do you reckon we'll know anybody? Well, I always ask them, do you know anybody now? Yeah. I mean, if I know you as John or Jim or George or... I believe that whenever my eyes can see him in heaven, that I'll recognize him as Brother Lindsay. Well, here comes Brother Lindsay. Well, right beside him is Brother Jesus. Amen. And Brother Paul and Brother Elijah. Of course, up there the Bible says we'll know as we are known.
That's right.
So if you know anybody here, you'll know over there. You're not going to see this. Like I said, the Bible said, you know, you're not going to sow one thing and it come up something else. This body is not recreated to look into some other shape or form. This body will have the same shape or form, but it just won't be. It'll be 30 inches in the waist in Jesus' name. Now, but this body won't have to eat, but can eat if he wants to.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. He's looking forward to getting to heaven to get some of that good food they got up there. I don't imagine that we've eaten Chinese food yet until we get to heaven. I mean, just when heaven gets through it. Can you imagine, man? I used to say that on that marriage feast supper of the Lamb, there'll be Mountain Dews on that thing. And honey buns. That's right. Can you imagine the honey bun in heaven? We're talking about a spiritual body that will not function as a natural body. We're talking about spiritual power in a glorified body. Not recreated, changed. Glorified. Cannot be hampered, hindered. Nothing can stop it. Operate the body, if it's a spiritual body, meaning what? It's operating as if it was spirit. Sanctified, holy. And that's his whole plan. That when he wanted this family, but he wanted a sanctified, holy family. Look at the years upon years upon hundreds and thousands of years that God has had to wait for his design, his plan. You're talking about patient. We don't know patience. Nobody's been long-suffering like God. Nobody's been long-suffering like my Father. Amen. Is he your Father?
Yes.
Where was I before you interrupted me? We were still there in 1 Corinthians 15, weren't we? What verse? 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a what? Spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now we know Jesus has a spiritual body. You reckon anybody else in heaven's got one? We know that there are two individuals at least that we know of. That we know of that are in heaven with mortal bodies that are supernaturally sustained by spiritual power. Now, I don't know. They must be stuck off in some corner because they got close to God and kill them. So it has to be God's sustaining power just to, I mean, how long they've been living. We do know that, but we know that Jesus is in heaven with a glorified body, isn't he? And that's where he appears here and he does that. And in the Old Testament, there would be appearance of forms of beings likened to the Son of God. I guess if you saw an angel, you'd think he was like the Son of God also. But anyhow, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he became man. But he was not translated while he was here on this earth. He walked about, didn't he? But then all of a sudden, after his resurrection, he just appears. Now, we do know this, that after his resurrection, the Bible says, and we don't have, I don't think we have no scripture that tells us that Lazarus died again. You do not have a scripture. Do you know of any, Brother Lindsay? I don't know of any. We do know this also, that after his resurrection, when that veil was rent in twain, that the graves of some of the saints was open, and they're out preaching the gospel. Can you imagine? I mean, Uncle Fred's been gone, man, about 5 years. Then all of a sudden, y'all sit down at the table, and Uncle Fred's sitting at the other end. It's very possible that those individuals already have their glorified body. And because they had that glorified body, seeing the laws and the way things are, that God probably had to go ahead and take them on to heaven. Amen. Amen. Glorified. Whew. Quickened. Quickened. Man. Is this good? It's food for thought, isn't it? When I was in verse 44, wasn't I? Still ain't got out of it, have I? It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Glory to God forevermore. Isn't it wonderful? Behold, or verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But then Jesus said, handle me, I'm not flesh and bone. He didn't say nothing about blood, did he? So when you are glorified, or you receive that glorified body, evidently it don't have blood in it. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised how? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more dying. Hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Glory to God. Now look here what he says. He talked about kinds of flesh. He talked about celestial. He talked about terrestrial. He talked about natural body. He talked about a spiritual body. He talked about corruptible body. He talked about an incorruptible body. He talked about a mortal body. And then he talked about an immortal body. Glory to God forever. Amen. Isn't this awesome? Now, Adam broke off the life force that was in him. And when he did, it caused him to spiritually die. He was made eternal. He sinned and became mortal. Now here comes Jesus. He's the last Adam. So he's made eternal. He took on sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became mortal, but he raised from the dead. And when he raised immortal. Death hath no more dominion over him. Amen. When Jesus became your Lord, the force of life is imparted again into man. Remember in John 1, 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. In John 10, 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more what? John 3, turn to John 3. I know we know this one, but let's look at it again. Verse 15 and 16. John 3, 15. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Glory to God forever. I'm thankful for that. Have you got that in you now? How many of you got eternal life in you right now? How many of you have the Holy Spirit in you right now? And in the beginning when God said, now you think about it, if Samuel, God let none of his words fall to the earth. If these Old Testament people would do these great exploits, if God sent his spirit to live inside of us who came upon Samson, if we have the life force that Jesus had in him, he died spiritually. The life force was cut off. God turned his back on Jesus. He went to hell in our place. And on the third day, the Holy Spirit, that quickener, went right into the pits where he was and quickened him. And he told us in Ephesians, Paul's prayer, in Ephesians 1. Go over there and look at that. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants us to have wisdom and revelation, right? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling, the riches, the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. When he raised him from the dead, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Then what did he say in Romans 8? Look at that. Glory to God. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth where? He dwells right in us, doesn't he? Hallelujah. So his body was not recreated. His body was resurrected. He had the same body, but his body was glorified, and now it operates only on spiritual power or spiritual laws. He said, handle me. It is immortal flesh. It never existed till this time. This is the first time we've ever had immortal flesh, because everybody was spirit prior to that. So Adam came, he had a natural body, an eternal body, and then he died spiritually, and now he's mortal flesh, but Jesus is raised immortal, and now he's got immortal flesh. Glory to God. And you just think about this, folks. What is, as far as prophecy is concerned, I mean, I've heard everywhere that everything needs to be done as far as prophecy is concerned from the scholars that it's all been done. That there's actually nothing else that they know prophetically that is to be done before the rapture of the church. Now, what's that guy's name that's on TV? Van Impe. Van Impe is predicting somewhere around 2011. Isn't that right? Isn't it what he's saying? 2011, that we're going to go out of here. Well, now, that's got to be, that's close, folks. What is the next greatest event that's going to happen with the body? The resurrection. That would mean that in just 2003, 8 years, if he's right, and we don't, he didn't say nothing about the day nor the hour. He didn't say that. But we know that we're close, don't we?
Amen.
That within 8 years, it's possible for us to have that glorified body. The next greatest event of history. Not the Antichrist being revealed. We're going to be out of here before that happens.
Amen.
Right? The next greatest event in history is when corruption puts on incorruption. When mortality puts on immortality. When this natural, earthy body becomes a spiritual body. Whew. Hallelujah. Now the Bible talks about the man that believes in this, it purifies him. This, we have a hope within us, don't we? Then that's going to mean that what? It's possible that within 8 years, you'll never have a headache again. You'll never have a bellyache again. It would be impossible to make you sick. Impossible to be diseased. Impossible to be hurt. Impossible to be killed. Because of this glorified body, which is spiritual power operating in a glorified body. And you just appear. You're just there and you're just gone. Ain't it gonna be fun?
Yeah.
How many of you want that body? The Bible says the whole earth groaneth. The whole earth is groaning. Now, here's what happens. On that day, that moment, that hour, when the Father says, go get my boys. Bring my children home.
Amen.
There's going to be a great shout.
Yes.
And then he's going to come. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all of that dust that they've become, we put back together. Put back together in the same form. And I don't know how he's going to do it all. But it's going to look like the same body. No disease in it. And it's going to come up out of them graves. And we which are alive and remain. And I always say that we he's talking about is me.
Amen.
I'm going to be alive and remain in Jesus' name. I'm believing for that. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, right? To ever be with the Lord. Every one of us at that moment will have from all over this planet.
Glory.
From all over this planet. The saints that have died and gone on. You know, they're up to heaven. They're coming with them, but they're going to go down. The Spirit's going to go down into the earth and get their body and come on up. Not going to be recreated, resurrected. Resurrected. And there's a difference. Immortal. Death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. No more pain. No more suffering.
Hallelujah.
No more crying. No more hurting.
Hallelujah.
No more cancer. No more kidney stones. No more diarrhea. You laugh. You weren't laughing when you had it. No more arthritis. No more Alzheimer's. Perfectly, with the perfect mind of Christ, knowing as we are known, knowing one another, and we meet Uncle Fred in the clouds. I meet my daddy. And my daddy had rheumatoid arthritis. I am looking forward to seeing him. I want to watch him run.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to throw a ball and he miss it. Go get it, Daddy. Let me see you run. Run, Daddy. Hurry up, Daddy. I want to see that. I want to see him look like he did. You're young. You never age.
Amen.
If you were 99 all wrinkled up or whatever, you'll be 90 then, I suppose. But you'll never age. You'll just look mature.
Amen.
But still good looking.
Amen.
You'll be good looking all the time.
Amen.
Which it won't matter to you at all.
That's right.
You won't be concerned about what you wear because, hey, we're all gonna probably wear the same thing. The glory of God.
Amen.
The glory of God. No more war. No more Saddam Hussein.
Amen.
No more terrorists. No more Al-Qaeda.
Amen.
Right? No more Osama bin Laden.
Amen.
No more Muslims. And look at that. No more Catholics. No more Presbyterians. No more Pentecostals. And no more Baptists. And no more whatevers. Just families home.
Amen.
Families home. And then, after we're gone, we're up there and we have a party for 7 years. Then he said, boys, come with me. So he takes us to the heaven's corral, and there are all these white horses. And he says, come on, get on. We're going on a trip. Where are we going? We're going back to the earth. What are you going back to the earth for? Well, there's a little fight down here that I got to take care of, but I want y'all to come and watch how I do it. And so we're all going to come back with him on this, with his glorified bodies, riding on white horses. Now, I don't know if we're going to ride all the way through. I kind of think it'd be great just to ride through the stars. Amen. On a horse. Are you kidding me? Mine's going to be black with chrome pipes sticking out the back of it. But no. It's going to be white horses. Hey, hallelujah. And we're riding and King Jesus in the front. And he's got this thing around him. And it's a name. And it's called the Word of God. And out of his mouth shall proceed a two-edged sword. And he destroys the armies of the Antichrist. And then he takes the earth and he gives it back to man. Sanctified in his spirit, sanctified in his soul, and sanctified in his body. And all the time, any one of those dudes on those horses could have whipped them too. Any one of us riding on those horses could have done it. But Jesus did this one out of his mouth. He's going to speak the word of God, the powerful, sharp, two-edged sword that he's given you, and you got a lap full of right there. And he's living. That book is Jesus. That book is the word of God. And it is his design today to quicken you, the Holy Spirit to quicken you through that word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get anything out of this tonight.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
See, I can't wait for immortal flesh. When this corruption shall put on incorruption. When this mortality shall put on immortality. Whew. Let's go over and close with this. But let's all comfort one another with these words. What do you say? 1 Thessalonians. Let's just read it and shout a while. What do you say? Huh? Are y'all out there?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you'd gone home with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at it. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Everybody say caught up. That's the rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Right quickly here, listen to this again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not recreated, changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Here's what he's saying. You know what he's saying? He's saying, son, when it's all added up, we win. Hallelujah. And then after he comes back and defeats the armies of the Antichrist, we're on those wild horses, amen. Then he's going to grab the devil, an angel, chain him up, and throw him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and we're going to rule and reign on this planet, rule it and reign over it and even lord over it for him by the word of God. And no word that we speak will fall to the ground. So we have hope here in this life. And we have hope even greater in the next one, don't we? Say, I'm a believer, not a doubter. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Are you ready to go tonight?
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
What brought you here tonight? What brought you here tonight? Love. Love brought you here. Because you love Jesus and you love the family.
Amen.
And we are family. And folks, won't it be great that we may be right here doing a service when this happens? I mean, look, he said in 2011, honey, it could be tonight. Honey, he don't know everything. It could be in the next moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Whew, I'm immortal. And that's something that can't be changed. Why do you suppose, remember the garden? Adam was in there. After Adam sinned, you know the reason he ran him out of that garden? If he'd have ate of that tree, he'd have been immortal. His body would have been immortal. Had to get him out of there, didn't he? Thank you, Lord. I probably believe that Adam's up there with him now, though. Don't you? Turn around and look at two people and say, immortal.
Immortal.
Immortal body.
Immortal.
Immortal body. Immortal body. Immortality. Immortality. That's what everybody's looking for. Immortality. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. They're locking folks up in coolers. Man, nitrogen. Did you hear what they did with Ted Williams' body?
Yep.
They got in the freezer, don't they? Gonna sell his DNA. If he didn't have Jesus in there, I don't want none of his DNA. Ted Williams, a ball player. People are being frozen. We'll raise them again after they find a cure for something. They are already gone. They're dead.
Amen.
That's right.
See how the devil's blinded people's minds?
Mm-hmm.
They're in the world without hope, without God.
Amen.
We gotta get the truth to them, don't we?
Amen.
Uncle Fred, he's preaching now. Man, the grave's open. He's out there walking around preaching.
Hallelujah.
That Jesus, the Son of God, has put an end to sin and has defeated the enemy. And all of you have been reconciled to God now, restored to favor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm in the family.
I'm in the family.
Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
For the family.
For the family.
Are you in my family?
Yes.
Who's your daddy? We looking at him. Say it again, family.
Family.
I love the family.
I love the family.
I love being with the family.
All my relatives.
Now I told you got to be delivered from your relatives, but not these relatives. I'm your relative. Right? I mean, you love me. I mean, you love me. I'm looking for a show of hands. I mean, you love me. Amen. Hold them up so I can just watch and see who don't love me. I'll check you out. You love me with both hands, don't you, sister? Amen. Well, I love you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and shout. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, if God never did anything else, or anything else was in the plan of redemption other than just this, that'd be worth serving him, wouldn't it? To know that one day you're going to be immortal. And you won't have a devil on your back anymore. That you are part of the army that puts him in the pit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then one day, after the 1,000 years, there's going to be another battle. And I'm pretty sure that we'll probably be there or somewhere on the bandstands in heaven, somewhere, looking at it when he's going to put him in the lake of fire. Everything will be removed from this earth that is of sin and of the devil and that is evil. And the earth will be pure, be cleansed with fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you sure you're ready to go? How many would like for him to come tonight? How many of you have done everything you should have done so you're ready for him to come tonight? That's it. That's what I figured. If you knew he was coming within 24 hours, what do you suppose you'd be doing? That's what you ought to be doing anyhow. You'd be preaching Jesus to somebody, wouldn't you? Choices. Choices. When you walk in, do any of you ever notice the banners that are over the door? What is it I asked you to do? Just one. And let's get them in church. How many of you think that you're man enough to do it? Big enough, greater enough, God lives in you, the Spirit in you quickens you, the same Spirit that created the worlds, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. How many of you think that you have the power and anointing and ability to do that? How many of you think you have the power and anointing and ability to do that? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? How many of you don't care what I'm talking about? Win people to Jesus, bring them to church. This is the best church in town.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, hug the family, love the family, love on each other. You're dismissed. Oh, no, they're not. You're not dismissed. How many of you got any agape in you?
All right, ushers. Ushers, come on, let's wait on the people. We're going to let them worship God with tithes and offering. Got just two or three things we need to take care of, so just kind of set tight for just a minute. If you need an envelope for your worship, raise your hand. Ushers want to help you. Want to give you an envelope. Ushers, be sure they get it. Everybody that's in the school, kind of set where you're at. We're going to pass a test to you in just a moment. But we're going to take care of this little matter first, tithe and offering.